I don't think I've ever identified quite so much with the idiom flying blind. There wasn't a class about being a pastor or being church in the time of a pandemic, although I've been learning a bit more church history in the last 2 weeks. We are proceeding by guesswork, one careful step at a time. The planner in me is frustrated, as careful contingencies have to be set aside and started over with every new guideline. My more spontaneous side is also frustrated, missing being able to follow a whim to go to a movie or grab a meal with a friend. Flying blind. Yet the disciples' question to Jesus in our gospel story also resonates. Who sinned? Why is this happening? Who is to blame? There are arguments about what to call this plague, whether the name that references the country it was first identified in or a more laboratory classification. Words matter, even subconsciously, because our names are linked to blame. Just ask the Corona beer makers who are worried about their brand image, or owners of Chinese restaurants. Who is to blame? Even if we can't assign blame for a virus's existence, we find other ways to argue about responsibility. There is a lot of ranting right now about our preparations for a pandemic as a country, either overdone or too little, too late. There is anger at the media for contributing to hysteria or not releasing enough information. And there is frustration when we are all flying blind and bumping into each other's wings, when we realize that we're not quite coordinated in our responses, and especially as it becomes more and more apparent that we need to work together. Travelers. Florida beachgoers. Hey, did you just touch your face again? And we're not just worried about health. We're worried about finances, about food, about toilet paper. Who's to blame? Now, the way English translations sometimes punctuate Jesus' response can be disconcerting, seeming to say that the man's plight exists so that God can show off. That's troubling theology, that God would inflict suffering to show God's might. It's important to note that in our original manuscripts of Scripture, there was no punctuation, and there are debates in translation. A colleague suggested a different way of hearing this text. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind. So that God's works might be revealed in him, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Jesus redirects the disciples away from the blame game to look towards the present and to the future. Where is God active right now? Where is God active in all of this? How is God leading us towards this being a time of thriving rather than of fear and blame? And unless Jesus is referring to himself in the third person, there's an invitation here. We must work the works of him who sent me. Be part of the healing. And then Jesus gets to work. And it's not the glamorous work one might expect. Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud, and spreads it on the man's eyes before instructing him to wash in the pool. The heroes we are beginning to recognize in this crisis aren't the showy government officials and talking heads, but the janitors, grocery workers, and nurses willing to get in the mud. I love how here in Jackson, our firefighters helped a grocer with restocking to give overworked and tired staff a break. They sacrificed the adrenaline and glamour that we normally associate with their uniform to help where help was needed most. God is teaching us, like he taught Samuel long ago, to look not on the outward appearance, but on the heart for our true leaders. And our part in this healing isn't very glamorous either. Washing hands and social distancing doesn't have a lot of pizzazz. One meme I saw admonished, "Your grandparents were called to war. You're being asked to sit on a couch. You can do this." But it's so boring. This mud making has another lesson. It resonates with the creation account in Genesis 2, where God makes human out of the dirt. So here, with this mud, Jesus enacts recreation, reforming what this man's life looks like. I think about how we are all flying blind right now and what kind of healing we need. So often I think of sight as having the full flight plan, being able to see the hazards approaching so I can keep going full speed ahead the direction I was going. Thinking about recreation and reformation, however, makes me think the healing my blindness needs is a shift in perspective. In these simple, unglamorous acts, as we retreat into our homes, as we wash our hands over and over, there's potential for that kind of recreation and rebirth. I think of the reports of dolphins swimming in clear Venice canals, or breaks in the smog that so usually plagues some of our cities. Drawing on an Orthodox Jewish perspective, poet Lynn Unger writes of the pandemic, "What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing. Pray. Touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has become clear. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live." Lutheran pastor Stephen Bond offered this reflection. "I had forgotten the delight of washing dishes and the sacredness of the kitchen sink. The mundane chores and ordinary places somehow convey love for those I most hold dear, and protection for strangers I might meet. In, with, and under the soapy water, a sacrament after the meal." In our gospel today, John depicts lots of reactions to this man's healing. The rubbernecking neighbors, the self-righteous powerful, the ones who try to avoid getting involved. Each of these groups, even as they see the man's transformation, refuse to shift away from their old ways of thinking. They want this mysterious healer to work when, how, and in ways they expect him to. And when the healed man refused to make his account fall in line, when he simply but steadfastly testifies to his experience, they drive him out. Rather than admit that in their own way they've been flying blind, they want to claim, "We see." Dear ones, there's a pretty serious disease traveling the globe. And while there are precedents, there are also many ways that we are flying blind. Right now, Christ calls us away from blame and to focus on the here and now. Let us work the works of the one who sent Christ. Let us be healed and reformed and be given new sight for ourselves, those around us, for our church and our society. This week, as I've started to connect with you on phone calls, I've been learning from you how we are church in a pandemic. I'm amazed at all the ways you are part of our healing and reformation. You donate blood even when safety precautions make it take longer than usual. You make cards for isolated living center members. You quilt. You use technology to teach older grandchildren history lessons or tell younger ones bedtime stories. You participate in online worship services and devotions across the country. You stay at home. You wash your hands. Bless you in all of the unglamorous work that glorifies God as you explore the ways God is giving you and us new vision. Amen.